I want to commend Brother Williams, the elders, and all who had a part in planning this lectureship, and especially this good theme. It is so badly needed in the religious world today. Some of the things that have been said today have been a repetition of some things that have already been said, and that's been good, because we need to emphasize certain truths from the Word of God concerning the theme of the end of time, the Lord's return, and the judgment and eternity. I'm happy to have the opportunity to speak to you again on this lectureship. It's always good to come to 39th Street. And over the years, I have enjoyed every visit with you good people. The extreme kindness, the hospitality cannot be exceeded anywhere by any group of people. And I appreciate the good work that this congregation is doing. Appreciate Brother Bill and his good work and his family and all of you who are striving to advance the cause of Jesus Christ, not only in this area, but in this country and in other countries of the world as well. In a few days, I plan to be going again to Malaysia and then into Thailand. And I want to get a lot of Bibles to take over again into Burma, a communist nation. I'll not go into Burma, but I will go to the border and leave some Bibles with a gospel preacher in his house who will help me smuggle those Bibles into Burma. Well, already we have members of the church in that nation, and they're meeting in some homes and teaching people and baptizing them. I've also sent some of my tracts that way, and I thought you'd be interested in knowing that. Malaysia is more or less a Muslim country. I think there's something about 16 small congregations in that nation now. And I'll be there first in a lectureship. Others will be speaking too. And then from there to Thailand, I hope to be back home about December the 15th. I also help in some ways in teaching at the Brown Trail School of Preaching, and some of you know about that. Yes, Jesus Christ will come again. The end of time will come. Now, I know that there are those who doubt that, and they think, well, so many have predicted the end of time, and according to the Bible and the prophecy, why, that has all failed, and so I don't know whether the end of time is going to come or not. That's the thinking of some people. The Apostle Peter realized that, and he said, some ask, everything continues just like it has been from the beginning, but they're ignorant of one thing, and that's the flood, and it came. I'm sure there are those who didn't believe that there'd be a flood. And after Noah built the ark and he and his family went inside and the door was shut and it still wasn't raining, maybe they said that old fool is certainly crazy because there's not a drop of water falling. But finally the rain came, didn't it? And the deep were broken up and the flood came. And then they realized, well, we were wrong. Certainly so. And I want you to know tonight, the Lord will come again. He'll come as a thief in the night. That is, he won't be as mean as a thief, but unexpectedly. That's the meaning of the figure of speech. And we are to be ready. And the way to be ready when he comes again is to be always ready. And if you're not ready for death or for the Lord's return, I ask of you to please do that tonight, whatever is necessary to be baptized into Christ or to be restored as a member of the church. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, we read of the ascension of Jesus. After his death on the cross, burial, and resurrection, spending 40 days with his disciples, the time came for him to return to the Father. And from the Mount of Olives, he ascended in the clouds. And as they gazed up looking into heaven as he went away, angels stood by and they said, "Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, as you have seen go away into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go away." So the promise was made then that he would come again. Also, as we noted in John 14, Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Also, the apostles made known the fact that the Lord will return. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul talked about the Lord coming, and those that are living will be caught up with the resurrected saints and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so there are many statements in the Bible that tell us of the Lord's return. Now, he's coming in the clouds. He's coming with a great trumpet. He's coming with great power. When will he come? Well, that has been emphasized already in this lectureship, that no one knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. That's what the Lord said. And we need to emphasize that. I appreciated so very much the lecture we had this afternoon concerning the fact from Michael that people have been setting dates for the Lord's return and the end of time back about 1843, William Miller, and that October date came and the Lord didn't come, and then he said, "Well, I missed it in prophecy a year," and he put in 1844 and the Lord didn't come then. He proves that he didn't know, because in the book of Deuteronomy, we have Moses saying when someone makes a prophecy and that doesn't come to pass, it's a proof and that he's not an inspired prophet. And that is exactly right about it. People do not know. And the Lord said that. And then there were others. William Miller, who predicted something about the Lord's return. He didn't come. Ellen G. White claimed to be caught up into the third heaven, or the eternal home of the soul, and saw the Ten Commandments. And on the number four was the circle, which said, you know, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And so when she got back from her trip, so she claimed, well, she began to emphasize that we need to observe the seventh day of the week, Saturday, the Old Testament Sabbath day today. And Brother Ford Wallace used to mention this, and he said, well, when Paul had his vision or trip to heaven, and the Lord said, it's not lawful for you to tell it. But he said, the Lord didn't say that to Ellen G. White, because she was a woman, and the Lord knew she'd tell it anyway. So anyway, there are those who claim to get messages and know from the study of this, that, and the other. Hal Lindsey, who lived in Dallas, Texas, wrote the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And as has been mentioned, he predicted that he would come in about the 70s or the 80s of the last century. But he's passed on, and he didn't come. And a film was made concerning this, based upon that book. But still, Jesus hasn't come. Just because the Lord has not come, there's no proof that he will never come again. He will come again. And we need to think about it. Well, the Apostle Peter said, as so far as the fulfillment of the Lord's promise is concerned, one day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If the Lord had come yesterday, some of you who are living here tonight would not have been ready, perhaps. And I'm of the opinion there are those in this audience tonight who are not prepared for death or for the Lord's return. But you need to get ready, because he is coming and we do not know when. Now, I'd like to mention briefly what will happen when the Lord comes again. That's my assignment tonight, especially. Number one, Peter said this old earth will be burned up. It will melt with fervent or intense heat. Christ will never set his foot upon this ground again. He's coming in the air, and ever I shall see him. But he's not going to come to this earth to live in the reign on the earth for 1,000 years, or to establish some earthly, material, political kingdom. The kingdom of Christ is the Lord's church. He is now King of kings and Lord of lords, ruling in heaven at the Father's right hand. And when he comes again, then comes the end, and he'll turn things back to God the Father. Now, that's the teaching of the Bible. But individuals still emphasize in their false teaching concerning the Lord's return and living here on this earth 1,000 years so far. I remember several years ago in preaching in the state of Georgia. No one here from Georgia. Well, anyway, I talked about the Lord's return and the end of time. It's during the war. People were predicting the end is near. The Lord's going to come again and set up his kingdom. And Revelation 20 teaches that. So I referred to it, as Brother Taylor did the other night, concerning it. It doesn't mention the Lord's return. It doesn't mention Jerusalem. It doesn't mention the length of the Lord's reign. They lived and reigned with him for 1,000 years. But I went on to say, it doesn't say on the earth. They lived and reigned 1,000 years on the earth. It doesn't say on the earth. I was staying with a very fine couple, and they had an upstairs bedroom for me. And that evening, someone invited me out for a little visit to the cafe to eat a piece of pie or something in the visit. And I had the key to get into the front door and step up to my bedroom, which I did. The next morning when I went down for breakfast, all was kind of quiet. And soon, Grandma, who was staying there, began the conversation. She said, "Brother Cotham, we owe you an apology." Well, I didn't know what. What had I done? And she said, "We knew last night when you said it doesn't say on the earth in Revelation 20 that you were wrong. And we intended to tell you about it." We got home and we got our Bibles out and we read. And sure enough, it doesn't say on the earth. I said, "That's right." Well, that ended our conversation. It doesn't say on the earth. It doesn't say that Christ is coming back to the earth. And he'll reign on the earth. A day or a month or a year or 1,000 years. Well, anyway, passing from that, Christ will come again. The earth will be burned up and melt with fervent heat. Heaven will not be here upon this earth with the weeds and the briars burned up and everything nice. No, that isn't the teaching of the Bible. Then again, all the dead are going to be raised. In John 5, Jesus said, "The hour is coming when all that are in their graves will hear his voice and shall come forth. They have done good to the resurrection of life, and they have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." All will be raised, both the good and the bad. Everybody. Because we're all going to the judgment bar of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul mentioned the fact to these Christians, this mortal or physical body cannot enter into the eternal home of the soul. It must become an immortal body. And so the body is raised an immortal, incorruptible, imperishable body. And if we're living at the time the Lord comes again, this physical body will be changed and become an immortal body. Well, how long will it take the Lord to do that, you think? I do not know how many people have lived on this earth until this present time. And it is said that there are more than 6 billion people living on earth tonight. And I cannot imagine that a number. And I do not know how many may live to the end of time. But all bodies will have to be changed. Now, how long will it take the Lord to do that? You think it'll take him a year? No. 6 months? No. Well, maybe a month? Week? No. You know what it says. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the divine power of God that created the universe, the stars, the moon, and this earth, is a God that can change the bodies into an immortal, incorruptible, imperishable body. That's the teaching of the Bible. And then Paul went on to say, when death has been conquered, and then the individual can say, now death, where is your sting? Now grave, where is your victory? It's all over. We've come through that. We'll never have death again. Never go to the grave again. Never die physically again. We have passed that, and that is all over. And then he said, thanks be unto God of the Lord who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory! We've won, and we're going to win. If we're true and faithful in the Lord's work and service, heaven will be our home, and we'll come forth with immortal bodies and live in heaven and never grow old in the eternal home of the soul. I do not know what portion will be, as we talked about in this lectureship. Jesus talked about the few that will go in the straight and narrow way. But if we do the Lord's will, faithfully live the Christian life, heaven will be our home. And the old devil can't keep us from going there either. In the book of Revelation, we have, I think, a key verse in chapter 17. These shall make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And that is right. Nothing is going to destroy the church of the Lord from the face of this earth, or the Bible from the face of this earth. And those that love the Lord and do his blessed will, when the Lord comes again, and we're all called before the judgment bar of the Lord, he'll say unto us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And that'll be heaven, the eternal home of the soul. All right, all will be raised, and all will be judged. The Lord knows the lies of every person here upon this earth. He knows us all the time. In the 139th Psalm, we have that darkness does not hide from the Lord. And then again, the Bible speaks of us giving account of the deeds done in the body and the secret things, whether they be good or bad. The last few statements of the book of Ecclesiastes, that's chapter 12. There are those who are doing things in the darkness of night, right here in this city, right here in our state, our nation, and they think, well, I'm getting by with that. Well, so far as this life is concerned, they may be getting by with it. But one thing about it, when they come to the judgment bar of God, they'll realize that God knew all the time, and they are going to face the Lord and the condition that they departed this life when that judgment day comes and the Lord comes again. And people need to think about that. A few years ago in Grand Prairie, the section of Dallas in which I live, coming home from a service one evening, I noticed cord around the grocery store, a community grocery store, by a member of the church, and his mother had that, members of the church. When I got home, I had the message that late this afternoon, someone came in and robbed them, stabbed them, and killed both of them. To this day, police does not know who did it. He could have left, gone down into Mexico. We do not know what happened. Nothing has ever been done by way of finding the person who was guilty. But here's the point tonight. The Lord knew, didn't he? And he knows now, doesn't he? And that individual will stand at the judgment bar of God just like everybody else. I had the funeral service a few days after that. Combined service, both of them, in the church building where they attended. People were sorry that that happened to two good people, faithful, devoted members of the church. We pick up a morning paper, maybe, and read about a little girl who was abducted, maybe on the playground at school. Can't be found. A few days later, the body is found, maybe cut to pieces, buried in the ground, or buried and covered up with bushes. Who did it? Well, not able to find out. But God knows. God knows. And judgment day is coming. When the Lord comes again, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us shall give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Things done in secret are not hid from the Lord. They may be hid from the police. They may be hid from members of the family. Men may be doing things that the wives don't know. Wives may be doing things that the husband don't know. Children may be doing things the parents do not know. One thing about it, God knows. The all-seeing eye of God. We cannot hide anything from the Lord. Now, that is a part of what's going to take place when the Lord comes again. When He will come, we do not know. But every eye shall see Him. We'll all go to the judgment bar of God. We will have immortal bodies to inherit our eternal home. Now then again, when the judgment day comes, the Lord will pronounce a sentence. God will judge through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his address on Mars Hill to the Athenians, talked about God having appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And God will do right. No question about it. But that doesn't mean that everybody, well, He'll say, well, I know you made this mistake. That's okay. Go on into the heaven anyway. No, it'll be according to the truth. Because Jesus said, as we read in John 12:48, the words I spoke, the same shall judge Him in the last day. We're going to be judged by the word of the Lord. But all are going to be judged. And all are going to be there. And the Lord will pronounce the sentence. Enter thou in the joys of thy Lord, or depart from me. And these will go away in the everlasting punishment, and the righteous will go in the life eternal. Now that's the sentence that the Lord will pronounce. And we will hear one or the other of those sentences. And we will enter into either heaven or hell when the judgment day is over. And the Lord comes again at the end of time. Where will you spend eternity? If it should come tonight, the judgment day, where would you spend eternity? Are you a Christian? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you a faithful member of the church? Maybe you've wandered away, need to come back as the prodigal son did, with the idea I've sinned, I've wandered away. The Lord wants you to come back, no question about it. He does not want anyone to perish, but some will. Doesn't want anyone to be lost, but some will. We need to tell people that there is a hell, a heaven to gain, and a hell to shun, and that the Bible speaks of those who will not enter into heaven, and they that do certain things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sometimes, maybe we as preachers preach concerning obeying the Lord and the need of obeying the Lord and doing the Lord's will. Someone might be in the audience who hasn't been baptized or not living faithfully. And maybe that person will go out and say, that preacher told me I was going to hell. I don't think I'll ever hear him preach again. Well, that's not the right attitude to take. You ought to say, that preacher told me what was in the Bible, and that certain individuals who do certain things and live that way and die that condition will not go to heaven. They will go to hell. And Jesus used the word hell time and again in His teaching. Now that is correct. And we need to do it. And people need to be warned. You will go to hell unless you obey the teaching of the Lord. I did not write the Bible. None of us wrote the Bible. But here is the word of the Lord. And what does the Bible say? And the Bible speaks of certain individuals. I go back to the man that murdered that man and his mother. Murderer. Will he go to heaven? Not unless he truly and sincerely repents of his sins and obtains forgiveness through the grace and mercy of the Lord. Here's an unfaithful member of the church that wanders away and dies in that condition. Will he go to heaven? What does the Bible teach? God is just and He's fair. and he will do that which is right. Now, we need to think seriously about it. I don't think the Lord is going to change his word in the day of judgment. It'll be there just like it is in your Bible and mine to be read and studied. Now, this is a very serious thing. So when the judgment day comes, there'll be sentences passed. And we'll hear one or the other of those sentences. And eternity is forever and forever. Now, people can hear the truth and reject it. I remember, and these preachers who are present have had experiences like this, going to a place many years ago. And there was a fine young man. Well, he was a married man. He had two small children. His wife was a member. His mother a member. Her parents were members of the church in the audience Sunday night. I don't know what I preached about. I don't even remember the invitation song. But as he went out and standing in the foyer, shook my hand, enjoyed the sermon, so on and so forth, I think it was his birthday. He went to his mother's house and ate and visited. Tuesday afternoon came. I had been out visiting. My wife was out visiting in another car. I pulled in to the garage. I heard the telephone ringing. I rushed in and answered. Perry, have you heard that so-and-so, called his name, has just died with a heart attack in the hospital? No. Thank you for telling me. I rushed to the hospital to be with his wife, the children, members of his family. I thought, Sunday night, he could have come forward, confessed faith in the Lord, and been baptized, but he didn't do it. Well, Thursday, Friday afternoon came. I stood in that same pulpit. I looked down on the same family to conduct the service. I couldn't say he was a faithful Christian because he wasn't. But I thought to myself, what did I fail to say that I should have said? Maybe I should have said to the song leader, let's sing another verse. Maybe there's someone here tonight who needs to respond, maybe thinking about it, and hasn't done it as yet. I'm going to go to the judgment too. And will I go to the judgment and the Lord will have to say, Perry, you didn't encourage people to be baptized as much as you should have? I hope not. There were people in the audience at the time that needed to be encouraged to respond to the Lord's invitation. And you preached and you just closed. I hope not. I hope not. And I have made up my mind that I'm going to beg and plead with people to obey the Lord and to be baptized and become Christians. I'm going to ask members of the church who are out of duty, who haven't been faithful, be faithful. Please do. I love you. And I'm interested in you. And the Lord loves you. And he doesn't want you to be lost. And you need to do the Lord's will. Now, it's a serious matter. We are going to spend eternity in one place or the other. When Jesus comes again and the judgment day comes. And we're going to give an account of how we have lived. Not what the parents did or others, but how we lived here upon this earth. And judgment day is coming. And I want you to know tonight, if you are young or older, husband or wife, son or daughter, you haven't been baptized into Christ, you need to do it. You say, well, I think I have plenty of time. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. And that's exactly right. I went to Indiana several years ago to a certain town. Got there Saturday afternoon. Went to the church building, looked it over, and I was standing out in front of the building late that afternoon with the local preacher. And he said, Perry, I want to tell you something. In our last meeting here, a young man got out of high school in the car, and I was standing out here in front with the visiting preacher, and he stopped a minute. He was a nice, friendly boy, and we talked a few minutes. He wasn't a member of the church as yet. He hadn't been baptized. I'd been thinking he would be baptized, but he hadn't been. He got in the car and started home and up the highway. Something happened. He had an accident and he was killed. But he hadn't done what he knew he had to do and was planning on doing. And that's the reason why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what the future holds. That's how important it is. One example briefly from the New Testament. Paul was in prison at Caesarea, and Felix was the governor that came. And he recently married Drusilla. He insisted that she leave her husband and come and marry him. And they thought it would be nice to hear Paul preach, or at least talk, maybe talk about his travels and his experiences. And what did Paul talk about to those two people? The Bible says he talked about righteousness and temperance or self-control and the judgment day to come. Everybody ought to hear about the judgment day to come. How many sermons are preached today about the judgment day that's coming? And Felix realized, I'm not ready to die. And she realized it too. Maybe they thought, well, I didn't plan on hearing a sermon like that. But she heard it, and he heard it, and they needed to hear it. Well, what was the response? You know the answer. Felix said, Paul, not now. At a convenient season, I'll call for you. But he never did. Soon after that, he was rejected because of wrongdoing. Someone else took his place. Drusilla was in Pompeii, Italy, the night Mount Vesuvius erupted and the lava went rolling down the side of the mountain. And she and her son were buried that night. I have been to Pompeii. I have seen a part of it that's been dug out from the lava. And the ruts that the chariot wheels made and the stones over the years past. And I thought, here's where Drusilla, who heard Paul preach, lost her life. Not a Christian. Out of Christ. What is your condition tonight? We have the message, in a sense, that Paul preached. Christ will come again. Death will come. There's the judgment. You're going to the judgment. You may be a judge, in a sense. You're going to give an account of your deeds, secret things you may have done, things wrong. You need to obey the Lord. You need to have forgiveness of your sins. You need to be a Christian. You're going to die like everybody else. He trembled, but not now. He made the wrong decision, didn't he? And so, I like the song, Careless Soul, Oh, Heed the Warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. If you need to respond tonight, I hope that you will come down this aisle or come down this aisle and let Brother Jack know what your desire is. Let us stand and sing.